Welcome to the Wise Dome Podcast, a series that is so much more than just a podcast series. This is a movement towards a lifestyle you know you deserve. It's all about the ease of inspiring and sharing your knowledge and experiences online. I'm your host, Nikki Kelly, and I have always admired those who share their wisdom, those who have decided to inspire others. Just like my guests, I found my version of inspiring others by sharing my wisdom and created a lifestyle I wanted, and I'm going to share all the secrets for how you can too. On this show, you'll find inspiration, motivation, and advice from experts, as well as valuable tips on how to get started or improve your business. Let's dive into how you can begin and grow your wisdom business. Remember, inspiring others looks different for everyone. How will you inspire? Welcome to the Wise Dome Podcast. This is Nikki Kelly, and today we're chatting with Angie Colley. Angie is a confidence coach and business strategist for creative entrepreneurs. She helps creative entrepreneurs build businesses that let them live, unlike businesses that own their lives. Angie, welcome to the Wise Dome Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lovely having you here. Now let's start with telling us about how you actually got started in the coaching business and a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, I mean, all of this has been kind of a happy accident. Growing up, never knew what I wanted to do. You know, there's always those kids that I'm going to be an astronaut, I'm going to be a doctor. I knew none of that. So when I became, actually, I took my first job at 14. And I tell you, I've done every job under the sun. I've picked up trash. I've been a firefighter. I've been a lifeguard. I've been a bartender. And then at one point after like a breakup, I decided, okay, I'm going to go back to school. I don't know what else to do. So I'm just going to go back to school. I'm going to get a master's degree. And for some reason, I was just learning about Shonda Rhimes and Shondaland and everything that she's doing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get my degree. I'm going to go be a screenwriter. I'm going to run shows. I'm going to be Shonda Jr. She's going to be my mentor. This is going to be great. Well, 2.5 years later, done a lot of work at all the majors after I got my degree, got laid off from the Oprah Winfrey Network and was like, oh shit, now what? So I'm running out of money. LA is an expensive town, Los Angeles. And a kind friend took me in. And in the depths of my despair, I remembered some random conversation where somebody recommended a book to me. Mm-hmm. It was called The Well-Fed Writer, and it's about copywriting. Right. And so I went and picked that up and blew through it in an afternoon and was like, oh, I think I could do this. And now over a decade later, here we are. Like, I've been copywriting for a long time. I've sold millions of dollars worth of product. It finally seems like the culmination of all these skills that I had. And yeah, it just felt so right. Yeah. Like as I grew as a copywriter, it was the strangest thing because people that were newer than I was came up to me and they were like, can you help me with this? And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Why do you think I know what I'm doing? And I just kind of fell into coaching like I fell into copywriting.
It's so funny how we just, I always say it almost every episode, the imposter syndrome. It's like we have this thing that we just, no, we don't have that value. Mm-hmm. What are you talking about? But you just don't realize the value you actually do bring to the table, do you?
Just trying to help too, like answering questions and stuff like that. And then I want to say like a year or so after I started coaching, it started happening to where I would go to marketing events and stuff like that. And people would be like, oh, you're Angie. I've heard so much about you. I'm like, what? How did this happen?
Oh, that's an awesome feeling. That is an awesome feeling. And, you know, to say that you worked in the Oprah Winfrey Show, to say that you've done all these different things, they all build up to this amazing business that you started. And how did you actually start the wisdom business then?
Oh, that's such a great thing because this goes back to developing my copywriter career. Right before I became a coach, I joined this community of copywriters because I figured I had taken myself as far as I could go alone and I needed some help. Yeah. And I remember speaking to the owner of this community where he was like, you've been a member for 4 months. Why aren't you posting? At that point, I was a corporate copywriter. I'm about to be promoted to senior. I've got all of this great experience, but imposter syndrome, just like you said. Okay. I'm watching all of these smart people post in there. So I'm like, I can't say anything, but what will he say? And what will she say? Oh my God, I'm so dumb compared to them. So he goes, Okay. Do you know how many people would love to have your experience? First of all, I just want to give you a little bit of perspective here because I don't think you're valuing you as much as other people will value you. Okay. Second of all, I feel like you're waiting for permission to go out and help people. And you don't actually need it. But just in case you're waiting for it, I hereby anoint you expert enough to go help people right now, exactly as you are, without doing anything else. Just go help the people that you can and don't worry about anybody else.
Good.
And that really just changed the trajectory of my life. You saw that my show and my business is called Permission to Kick Ass. And it comes directly from that conversation.
He has permission.
Yes, you have permission. Get out there and do your thing and own it. And don't be scared of it.
Isn't it amazing how you can have conversations with people every day? And that's, you know, hello, that's why I'm here doing podcasts. But, you know, the conversations we have and just that one moment of, babe, you can do this. Or, you know, you have no idea. Like, you know, just go out and do that bit of permission that we all need. And I think all of us go through that. I can't imagine anyone, just sitting there going, oh, I'm just good. And if you do, fantastic, all great to you. But, you know, I think many of us sit there go, I just need that little push, don't you?
Amazing. For all of you quick start Colby people who just go out there and start things and never agonize about it, please tell me your secrets.
Yes. Okay, so you started your wisdom business by obviously that first bit of permission. What did you do from there? So you felt that, yes, I can do this. So what happened from there?
The interesting thing was I got more and more involved in the community. And that same mentor of mine, a man named Kevin, who told me that I had permission, ultimately invited me to coach for a program of his that I took. So like I graduated from his program and then he's like, you're awesome. You're so helpful in the community. People write to me all the time and say, Angie gives the best advice. So I can't think of anybody better than you to come in and help me coach. And I was like, wait, what? I don't know what I'm doing. Like I still have kind of that head trash, but I determined to go in with, okay, I'll just help that same rule. I'll help people with what I know now, and I won't worry about the rest because I can always go recommend resources or introduce them to people that know more than me. I don't have to solve all the problems. And I think that was really the light bulb moment for me. Like being the expert doesn't mean you know everything.
Exactly.
And the most prestigious experts that you know out there, you'll notice that they are the first to admit, well, I don't know everything. And they'll say, well, I don't know that, but you know, I could talk to so-and-so and I could find that out. So I would say that to your listeners, like if you're worried about people thinking you're not an expert because you can't answer every single question, like get rid of that fear.
Yeah, exactly. and like they say, it's not always what you know, it's who you know too. So if you can refer people, they appreciate that just as much.
Oh, absolutely. I had a coaching call just today where people were like, okay, so I want to know about Facebook ads. I am not the person to talk to about Facebook ads, but I can introduce you to so-and-so and so-and-so. This person has like the content experience. This one has the button pushing experience. So between those, you should be able to get the answers to the questions. And they didn't think any less of me for not answering those questions. It was amazing.
But they appreciate you even more though, don't they? Because you're actually being real about it, going, you know, I know where my expertise lies. I know where it doesn't. And here's where you can go to find it. And people appreciate that because a half-assed answer isn't exactly an answer that they need. And it'll cause more issues. So you want to give them the right direction. You started your wisdom business. The steps that you took, did you sort of have that audience then already there because of the group you're in? Or did you go through that process like we all have to build an audience and all that sort of stuff? What did you do there?
I did have a little bit of a built-in audience. And when I became a coach for him, it was kind of part-time. I was still working my senior copywriter job. 6 months seems to be my agonizing period. It took 6 months of talking to him and doing the coaching. And I finally decided to leave my job and go all in on, I'm going to be a freelancer and I'm going to be a coach. And that's just, it kind of grew from the decisions that I was making, the bets that I'm making on myself, and just continuing to reach out to people that I can help and answer the questions I have. Like I have a rule. If somebody reaches out to me and it's going to take me less than 5 minutes, I'm happy to do it. If they want me to write a testimonial and I can do it in 5 minutes, if they want me to introduce them to someone and I can do it in 5 minutes, like that's, I think, the easiest way that you can provide value whatsoever. If it takes beyond 5 minutes, I'll send them to a booking link. Hey, I'm happy to hop on a call. Let's do a consult. I'll help you out. But like, if it takes 5 minutes, I'm just going to help you. And then it just, kind of naturally spread through word of mouth, which has been really interesting.
That's amazing. It's a lot of value in that. A lot mm-hmm. of value in that. That's trust there, straight out. Mm-hmm. Like you don't even have to go through the process of building trust at that point. Word of mouth, everyone just goes, all right, I gotta love mm-hmm. this lady. If this one loves him, then I'm gonna love him. That's fantastic. And that's just a dream come true, I think, to a lot of people who share their mm-hmm. content. They just want to be able to build an audience. Like, that's obviously the first thing, you know. Well, obviously, yeah, there's the content, but getting it out there, you've got to have an audience. And I think that's the other thing too. You don't necessarily have to have a huge audience. I think that's something Mm-mm. we've got to really put out there, that word of mouth.
Mine has been small but mighty for the last 4 years. I'm telling you, because something happened in conjunction with me quitting the job. A few months later, I wound up becoming the head of the copywriting team for a well-known internet marketer. Right. And that took my reputation to the next level too. So I got all this great experience, got to make all these connections and coach in my spare time.
Yeah.
And then occasionally this guru would have me come on stage and coach people live.
Yeah.
And sometimes I would go into what he called the launch pad and coach people back there. So it was just like every decision I made brought me more of an opportunity to coach in other people's programs mm-hmm. and kind of test out my skills and get better at. When I was a coach in my early days, I thought, my way is the good way. And if you just do what I say, everything will be fine. Mm-hmm. I have since learned that's probably not the most effective. No, it's not probably. It is not the most effective way to coach somebody, because there are 100 potential solutions to any given problem. And just because it worked for me doesn't mean it's going to work for them or they're mm-hmm. comfortable with it. There's different obstacles and stuff like that. But mm-hmm. being able to do that kind of part-time with two different groups of people with two different products really helped me find my own as a footing, and then like find my footing on my own. And then people started coming to me. So now I have like three groups of people, yeah. people that are coming to me through Kevin, people that are coming to me through the guru. And then people that are like, I've heard a lot about Angie. I want to work with you. So it was really awesome.
But it's true, isn't it? And when I say it's true, I'm referring to, yeah, you can't just go in there with blinkers on and think, yep, this is how it's got to be done and this is how you've got to follow. I don't think, you know, when we share our content, there's one thing I notice that, one, we don't compare ourselves to other people. There's just no use doing that. And two, it's because interaction is the main component of content sharing. Mm-hmm. And interaction means it's information going both ways.
Yes.
So listening, and that's really good that you...
And when you're prescribing, are you actually stopping to listen to everything that's going on in their lives? Are you, you know, are you playing doctor here and digging through and seeing what kind of interactions and bad reactions might happen when you're giving your directive advice? That's why I don't like to. It's like the 20% of 80-20. Sometimes I'll give directions if I see like a very clear, very easy path.
Yeah.
But most of the time as a coach, I'm trying to teach them to rely on their own intuition, and that I want them to fire me eventually because they have grown so much in their own confidence that they don't need to lean on me. I'm not That's building perfect. A business for people to depend on me. I don't want that.
That's perfect. Surpassing that question of what major lessons you learned from your audience, I'd love to ask you, because obviously we talk about inspiration, how we inspire and so forth. Is there any particular way that you share your knowledge that you get the most reaction or interaction from, that they've learned huge lessons from and you've learned huge lessons from?
Yeah. Okay. This is going to be kind of a story that doesn't initially make sense, but I promise we're going to connect the dots. Okay. I left this guru's team and was like, I don't really want to work in copy anymore. I want to go all in on coaching. I'm going to be a podcast host. We're really just going to grow this coaching business. And this was late 2020 that I decided to do this. Right. And 6 days later, my now former partner announced, I don't love you the way that you love me. I think it's over, and turned my entire world upside down. So I've just left my job. He's in the process of moving out. Everything has gone upside down. And my reaction to all of this, after I kind of sat with it and felt the initial grief feelings, was, I'm taking this show on the road. So for the past 15 months or so, I have been a full-time digital nomad. And even though the guru's company offered to take me back when they found out that I was going through this hardship, I was like, you know what? No, it's time. I want to end this on a high note, leave everybody wanting more, you know, and let the next person step up to lead the team. I'm not going to rob her of her opportunity. All right. Guess we're just going to have to figure this out on the road as we go. This ties into inspiring people because while I was recovering and dealing with the heavy feels and all of that and figuring stuff out and the confusion that we all have in building a business, right? That was when people started reaching out to me and going, I'm really inspired by what you do. And I'm like, what? I'm a digital nomad. I still have to wash my drawers like everybody else. What do you want? Like hashtag washing the dishes. Why do you want me to write about my travels? I don't want to write about my travels. And for like 8 months, people kept writing in and going, I see like snippets of pictures that you post online, but you're just not writing about your, I want to know more. I want to know more. And finally the dam burst in like August of last year when I wrote a post, was like, I don't want to be your fucking breakup guru. I have a feeling that people want to know like what I'm going through, how I'm healing, how I can make all of this like rags into riches story. And I just don't want to do any of that. I want to go to interesting places and I want to eat all the food and I want to sink into the couch and watch Netflix. And that's what I want to do. And that was when it finally became comfortable for me to write about travel, life on the road, the things I'm learning from the different places that I'm going, and some of the stupid things that I do just to keep it fun.
That's the message you were wanting to share. You weren't wanting to, you know, it wasn't about your breakup. It was about creating this new journey. So yeah. It's good that you, yeah.
But it's interesting. Like when you have strong feels and an experience like that, it clouds the reality of what you're seeing, you know? So yeah. I just kept hearing like, we want to know what you're processing. We want to know that you're okay. And I'm like, I don't want to talk to you about any of this, but I want to tell you about llama yoga because that was fun. And I want to write about hot air balloons because that was fun. And
I'm like, I think you need to explain a little bit more about llama yoga. What was that about?
Oh my gosh. I discovered, and this is a worldwide network, apparently the Secret Media Network. And for a lot of major cities all over the world, they have local content writers that will find interesting food places, interesting activities, seasonal stuff. So I checked out Secret Atlanta when I was in Atlanta, Georgia last year. And one of the things that came up was llama yoga. And I guess because they're on a PR blitz, because the place that runs this llama yoga had just been on a Netflix like best vacation rental special. Like they had a big tree house and a bamboo forest and they also do llama yoga next door. And so it's like, all right, well, I've heard about goat yoga. Let's try llama yoga. It's different. And sure enough, I've got a picture of her, like the first llama I encountered, like peeking over my shoulder. Hello, what's going on?
Kind of takes you. Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
It was fun. There wasn't much yoga-ing because you can't get really zen when there are llamas and alpacas wandering around. But we were mostly just slow stretching and like, haha, the llama's next to me. What do I do now? And then we fed them after and it was fun.
Yeah, I was about to say, how much yoga-ing do you actually get done? But anyway, all that says, well, look, hey, experiences are the best. I love, you know, having, and the odder the experience, the more fun, obviously, to talk about. So yes. You on the road, you're doing your thing, you know, sharing, you know, information and so forth. What guided you into the particular format that you wanted to take with your wisdom business?
Interestingly enough, when I did surveys and I did outreach to people that I've coached in the past, and I asked them, what made you seek me out in the first place? What was it that attracted you to me above any other coach that you could have picked? And they said, I needed help with confidence.
Right.
And so it was interesting. I just went directly to the people that I helped. And I was like, wait, but is there such a thing as a confidence coach? How does that even work? Like, okay. So then it's a good problem to have, right? To figure out, this is what people are coming to me for. How do I actually dimensionalize this and make it make sense in a way that provides value so that I can bring more people to me? You know, instead of just being like, I can help you be a rock star. I can help you be super confident. And so it's broken out into little things that I help people specialize in with, like client communications. I just had a situation blow up with one of my clients, and I don't know whether I'm like just upset and in my feels, or this is a major red flag and I need to walk away. Help me, Angie. And they'll come to me for coaching with that. And I'll give them tools on how to manage difficult conversations like that, whether it's with a contractor or with a client that's blowing up. If they're preparing for a speech or a presentation, We'll talk about rehearsal. We'll talk about getting out all of the crap by practicing to an empty room and not just trying to wing it when you get on stage. So yeah, there's just a lot in like pricing and negotiation. I do a lot of work with people on that, and stop setting your prices by what you think people can afford. Stop it. Decide what you need to make and then go find the people that can afford that. Hierarchy there.
That's amazing. It's interesting you say that, because I think so many people, you know, we have a vision. We're like, okay, we're going to start this business. We're going to do this. And like you said, you know, some people say, I've got this course and this is the course I'm going to deliver and this is the course we're going to follow. Mm-hmm. But surveying feedback is massive. And it's a message I think we share in every conversation that I have on this podcast, that gaining some insight on what your members need is a massive portion of that. So when you were creating, so obviously this is a coaching program. Was it because you were coach that you decided to be a coach? Did you just go straight into coaching, or how did it?
I pretty much just do straight up coaching calls. I haven't developed a program out of it yet, but I'm moving toward in-person events, which I really like. And that's the interesting thing about just following the steps where they lead you, like even circling back to the breakup. So I spent a lot of time last year playing and decompressing, because I would hit a wall and just not be able to work anymore, which is an interesting change, because before I would say I threw myself even deeper into work and became a workaholic if I was dealing with emo stuff. But last year, 2021 Angie wasn't having that. She was done when she was done. So I went out and played a lot, and my business still grew, even though I was working like half as hard. And that has been an epiphany moving into 2022, where it's like, oh, deliberately building in playtime, inviting people to come play with me and maybe take business a little bit less seriously, like not life and death serious, but definitely we're serious about business. And also we play just as hard as we work. And that's kind of the next evolution of my coaching. Making business fun, actually having a life instead of having your business run you. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting.
God, exactly. Like, there's that, we live to work or work to live. It's like, and there's, there's a huge majority of people out there that, are still trying to find that definition for themselves. But it's so interesting, you mentioning this in this conversation now. Because, the amount of conversations I have during the week, like I mentioned to you earlier, just recently, so many, it's like someone's trying to tell me something as well, because I'm constantly working, obviously building this platform and, doing product, all these things that I do. And I love working and I love talking to people and so forth. But like these conversations for me is like play. It's like,
yes,
yay, a fantastic conversation. Awesome. Fun stuff.
Or you're never recharging the creative well.
Yeah. Like,
going out and having new experiences and meeting new people actually gives you ideas and perspective and examples that you can bring back into your coaching. Like, I've already told a couple stories where I was like, the other day I was talking to so-and-so, the other day I saw this. Like, that is an integral part of my coaching that I don't get from sitting here alone in my house with my cat. It actually involves going out and talking to people. And, I think the number one objection I get from people is time. Like, I'm so busy. I have so much to do. I don't have time. I would argue you don't have time not to make this time for yourself. And like for instance, okay. And none of this is meant to brag and be like, Angie has a great life. Angie is not independently wealthy. She's just rearranged her finances to support the lifestyle of her choice. So that means that you too can do this without being a millionaire. And I am living proof of that. Last Friday, I was on a bougie ass train from Williams, Arizona to the Grand Canyon with my laptop, doing work on the train while having champagne and then exploring the Grand Canyon. Like, the pandemic, as horrible as it was, has shattered a lot of the illusions that we had about work and the possibilities and how things are done. And that is so magical to me, because like, I've done the Silicon Valley hustle and grind yourself into an early grave. I've done that. I've worked at places where I was in the office until midnight and back in the office at 5 o'clock in the morning. I am not letting my business do that to me. No,
That's good. Well, hello. You got to practice what you preach, don't you?
I got to live it to show people what's possible. And I think that's the best part of being a coach, because I'm almost challenging myself to do the things that I want my students to do, which is
experiences to share with them too, isn't it? So,
oh yeah, it's a scary growth journey all on its own, but like, yeah, I would never ask my students to do anything I haven't made myself do first. So.
Exactly. Well, that leads me to the next thing. With all the experiences that you've had, and obviously listening to, you know, the people that you coach and so forth, is there any sort of direction that you envisage that you may change or grow? Like, where do you see yourself going to from here?
Oh, that's a great question, because it's been building over the past year or so, but I have this kind of through line in my mind connecting like early stage and growing freelancers and entrepreneurs that are still trying to figure out the pricing and the confidence and the making offers and stuff like that. That's like my happy place, giving people that kind of courage to step out and believe that they can do their own, because, and this is one of my missions, I will never be the reason that somebody gives up on themselves. I am not going to be that person that tells you that your dreams are impossible. You're going to have plenty of those people in your life. That's not going to be me. But the through line goes from them to, incidentally, the other half of my business is consulting with high-end clients. I do a lot of marketing and launch consulting with those people. And so I'm like, all right, could I find the people that want to have a business that's built on fun in both of those areas? And then just, we build a fun business and everybody is happy and confident. And so the long game for me is in-person events, group coaching, masterminds at the high-end level. I'm super excited about it.
Well, you'll just keep building up and building up those experiences. It'll take you there, that's for sure. And I think that's something too, like when we're starting a business or even just evolving our business, like our, or not all of our listeners are listeners that are just looking to start. They possibly have a business and they're just trying to work out where to go next or options of where to go next. But inspiring other people with your own, you know, what you've been through and who you talk to and so forth. Is there any particular, like just one story? I'm sure there's many and many of them, but is there any one particular story that sort of stands out to you that you've experienced?
From one of my coaching students?
One of your coaching students.
I will say that I've got two students that they have it, you know?
Yeah.
The quotation mark it, they have that thing, but the confidence is what's lacking. And it's really interesting to watch their faces when I'll be like, trust me, I've been in this industry for over a decade. I've seen people at all skill levels. You have what it takes as long as you don't give up and you don't let your ego beat you down. Those are going to be the two things. And so I think what really stood out the most about working with the two people that I'm thinking about is how they really just wanted to celebrate. Like every time they implemented something that I said, oh, I told this client that we weren't going to be a great fit after all, because we had, you know, this series of working events and we tried to work it out, but it didn't work. And I walked away and I'm so proud of myself. And I'm like, yes, look at you go. You're going to do this. So I know that that's not a specific answer, but
it's a moment. It's
seeing that spark happen when someone believes that they did the right thing, even though it's the hard thing, and that they're confident there's more after this. Yeah. I love that.
It's
love
okay to say no. And that's, their moments that are still inspiring as well. It doesn't always have to be those big wins. It's still a win. It's still an amazing win, but it's like a lesson. It's a serious lesson we all learn too. We all have to know sometimes we're just not a fit. And it's okay. It's okay. It's, you know, just not the coach for them.
Exactly. You
know? And that's a major lesson.
One of the things that I picked up from Silicon Valley that I think was particularly unhelpful as I was building my business is this idea of you really have to work hard.
Yeah.
And the subtext there is like, if you're not working hard, you're not going to succeed. You haven't earned the right to do it. Mm-hmm. And the further I told you my story about last year, my business growing when I wasn't trying hard because I just wasn't mentally there. And I realized something, this can be easy and it can be fun. And there are still going to be periods of hustle and grind when you've got a product or you've got a deadline or you've got a big project.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be hustle and grind all the time. And if you're not struggling, that doesn't mean you're not making forward progress. Like, struggle is not a sign of success.
With that information then, because you've obviously learned a lot along the way, how have you grown personally then throughout this whole journey? Is there any, yeah, how have you grown?
Ooh, I think one of the biggest things for me is, and it's something I still struggle with, is letting go of perfectionism. The way that I'm going to say this sounds like a little bit of a cop out, but like, good enough is good enough.
Yeah.
I can always make this better once I just get the thing out the door and get it done. But like, I'm actually doing my people a disservice sitting on this program or this training and noodling it and trying to get it just perfect and getting feedback, like working on this forever instead of just getting it out there and trying to get that help into people's hands. It's still a struggle. I would say with every single product that I put out there, I spend, you know, way too much time thinking about it. Is this right? Yeah. The layout, how am I going to deliver it? But I'm getting better each time I practice just putting it out there and letting it be less than perfect.
And it's hard to when you're a copywriter.
Oh, yes.
Because it's all about the message. So you're always missing that. Oh, God, sweetheart. I see it. I see it. I get you because, hello, like I said to you, I'm building this platform and it's constantly just get it out there, man. But it's a tool. It's it's different. I don't know. But, you know, it's still one of those things. Just get it out there. People just want to see it. And I'm just not ready yet. Can totally
Tech is a slightly different beast, yeah. Yeah, like you got to get it out there, but you got to get it out there to your beta testers who know that they're on a bug hunt, you know.
Exactly,
they're not looking for perfection, they're looking to help you make it better.
Yeah, exactly. The advice that you might have for anyone who's looking to start a wisdom business or grow a wisdom business, what is
it? You can absolutely do this. You can help somebody knowing exactly what you know now, whether it's leaning into the professional experience you've had over the last several years, whether it's being an accidental expert in something that's really, really hard, like a messy divorce. Like sometimes you go through it and you come out the other side and people want your help. And that's a sign that you could just be helping a lot of people. You don't need a certification. You don't need a whole lot of fancy stuff. Just like I'm not a certified coach, but I still help a lot of people and I try to do better every day with every person. So like I seek out feedback on my coaching style and I ask my students and I ask my own mentors, did I handle this right? Could I have done this a little bit better? Okay, cool. I'm going to use that next time moving forward. You can just decide to do the thing and learn and grow as you go.
You're known for, you know, how you just offer free advice and you're there, you're always open, you know, you're always open to your community and so forth. Why do you think people resonate with the way you approach with your advice?
I think because, you know, shortly after I got that message from my mentor, you have permission to help people exactly as you are. I also took that as permission that I could be exactly who I am. And I could let the mask slip on who I thought professional Angie needed to be to attract people. And the more I started sharing my own internal struggles, right? And I say that with a caveat, because if you're going to share what you're going through, it's best to share from scars, not open wounds. Like give yourself a little bit of time to process and not be quite so raw. But I would share with people like, you know, okay, so last week I had this situation and here's where I was struggling. And, you know, I found myself in an anxiety spiral and I would just get really real with people and that made them feel better. Like I'm not this high and mighty so-and-so that has all of her crap figured out. I have struggled. Like you mentioned earlier, and I was trying to stifle a chuckle. You're like, you've learned so much. And I'm like, yeah, by beating my head against the wall. Trust me. I have made every misstep, every mistake. I've been cocky. I've been humble. Like I've tried on so many different ways to do this. And all of that led me here now with you listening to me in your ears. Yeah. You can absolutely fail your way forward and try a whole bunch of different stuff that doesn't work and be.
But don't we all though? I reckon.
Yeah.
But it's how we acknowledge it, isn't it? That's the step there. How do you acknowledge that lesson? That, you know, is there a lesson there? Is there, you know, just don't do that again, sort of thing.
And sharing my mistakes and my failures and my anxieties has really helped my students know that I absolutely understand where they're coming from.
Because
I have definitely been there. Yep.
Yeah. You are human just like them.
Mm-hmm. And if I can do it, you can definitely do it. Some of y'all are way faster and way smarter than me. You can absolutely do this.
It's just, but you know, like I said, some people are a fit, some people just aren't a fit. And yeah, you know, when it comes to coaching, when it comes to it, just anything really, like friends, it's like dating. I've said mm-hmm. this before. You're just dating, really. And yes, it, like, it's just, you know, if there's a fit, there isn't a fit, whatever it is, but it's just how you share it too. Like, whilst mm-hmm. you might think, okay, I don't have the same expertise as that person, like I said earlier, you just don't compare yourself to anyone, because what you have in your system and your values that you can share to us with someone else, it is going to be entirely different to the other person, because mm-hmm. your experience is different, and what you learned from it is also different to what they've learned, and how it's you so share true. It is different to how they share it. So everybody is unique, and it just, if you click, you click. Awesome. You're on a roll, but you'll always okay. click with someone.
It's okay not to click too. Like mm-hmm. I felt guilty early in my career because I had an offer of mentorship from somebody that was really, really high up in the end, like super well respected. Yeah. And we started working together, and I would ask questions, and this person's particular coaching style was just like, leave you alone to figure it out. And I did not cope well in that. I'm like, I like to understand why. I need to know like the different options. I want to talk this out. I want to really wrap my head around the logic. Mm. And it wound up not working out, because after 3 weeks, I was so frustrated that I wasn't learning anything. Yeah. And I actually wound up walking away. And there's nothing wrong with the way that he did that. Because his style is absolutely going to resonate with somebody that learns like that. But his teaching style and my learning style were a total mismatch. And yeah, that's why we didn't work out. So it's not that he's a bad coach or I'm a bad student, but like, this is actually going to happen when you date around, exactly like you said, which is so, so genius. Please take this into account. You need to date. Don't try and make it work. Don't propose marriage on the first date. Just like, try it, keep it casual, yeah, and eventually you'll find the person where it's an easy relationship. The things that you're talking about with this person make sense. It gives you hope. It makes you feel inspired, and you can, oh, I leave this call and I'm fired up to go do things.
Yeah.
And I'll be privately anxious later on when I actually have to do this.
Have to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's me and my own life coach every single week. I'm fired up and now I have to do the thing. No. Yeah.
And that brings me to the point of timing. You know how you were saying some people are like, I just don't have time for this, don't have time for that. And I did read a book, and it was just really based around you create your own time. What you mentioned earlier, it really resonated with me, and I'm sure it would resonate to a lot of other people, when you mentioned you noticed that when you had time to play, you thought that mm-hmm. you possibly won't evolve as fast because you feel like you're slowing things down. You know, mm-hmm. you're actually giving yourself a chance to go, okay, here's my reboot. All right, I've got more energy for this. And you apply your time a lot better and smarter and, you know, more mm-hmm. efficiently, basically. And I think we share that with that, you know. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and here's the key. It's the counterintuitive thing to taking time for yourself. You have to take it first, and you have to fit your business in around it. That's the key that I learned last year. It's called Parkinson's Law, and loosely paraphrased, it's the time that it takes to do the thing is the time you give it. So if I give myself 2 weeks to get my website copy done, it's probably going to take me 2 weeks to get my website copy done, because I'm going to find things and they're going to be distractions, and I'm going to be thinking, all right, I got 2 weeks. It's going to fill that entire space. Whereas if I don't know if they're ever going to see this video, but I've got like this little hex timer that I just set, and I've got a list that's sitting here on a post-it note on my monitor. And when I've got a break in between meetings or coaching calls or something like that, set that bad boy to 30 or 45 minutes, pick the thing on the list and work through it as fast as I can. On top of that, evenings and weekends are mine. I don't work on evenings and weekends. That's sacred space. And then if I find something interesting that I want to do that I'm really curious about, like my rule with my travel is, if I never came back to this place again, would I be satisfied with what I did here? And that's why I went on that bougie train. Like, all right, awesome. Well, if this is my one and only time to go on the bougie train and see the Grand Canyon, then I'm going to do that. Yeah. I had to schedule that. I had to buy an advance ticket. I had to block off Friday and tell my clients, I'm not taking calls this day. Like, I was still working on the train, but I wasn't taking calls. Good thing, because I didn't have any signal on the train. We're out in the middle of nowhere. But that meant that Monday through Thursday, I had to get those tasks done because, again, evening and weekends are mine. Mm. And if I want to spend the evenings and weekends vegging out and watching reruns of House, which I may or may not be doing right now, then that's my choice.
Yeah.
And I get to do that because I am spending the time to grow my business, but also take care of myself.
And that's good advice right there. It really is. You know, we all do this for a reason. And what is that reason? Mm-hmm. You know, just keeping that in mind. A side question I do love to ask my guests, awesome. And it's about legacy. What legacy are you looking to leave, whether it be personal or business or this year or lifetime?
I want an entire generation of entrepreneurs, which I think is already happening. Like, they're starting to rise and realize the old workforce is not a thing anymore, not the way it used to be. But I want them to be confident in themselves and flexible and experimental and see the joy in the journey versus thinking that they have to spend all these years working to get somewhere and then they get to enjoy it. No, you can actually enjoy it right now as you're building it. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. Let me tell you.
That's a good legacy to leave.
Heaven forbid we have fun with our work. And yes. I'm not just talking about, you know, like, so I'm a true creative and it makes sense that I, you know, go in hot air balloons and jump off of things. And that's my fun recharge time. But I know people that get just this passionate about spreadsheets and finances, which are like my arch nemesis. But if spreadsheets and finance and coming up with interesting macros are your thing, baby, embrace that and have fun. And that is your business. You go enjoy the heck out of that. And that's really all I want from you. Like, find that thing in your business that brings you a lot of joy and do it.
A legacy like that is inspiring enough as it is, you know, mm-hmm. just for the point of when people come across you, they will be ignited because the energy that you inspire in people is a, is an amazing thing. Enjoying life while you work, it's all about living your life and mm-hmm. work comes with that. It's not, you know, life comes with work. It's work comes with life. Yes. And you know, enjoy your life. Work mm-hmm. is a component to keep you living life and having fun while you do it. Everyone's got to have fun. Well, you've been amazing to chat to, Angie.
Well, like, thank you so much.
Absolutely amazing. And I do you have an offer that you may want to share with anyone that's listening today or you?
You know, if you go to permissiontokickass.com and you sign up for my email list, you'll find out what I'm up to, whether it's a local workshop. If you're in the States, I'm traveling all around. Maybe I'll take this show on the road again and go international and have some workshops. But yes, signing up for the list is the best way to find out what I'm up to. And if you want to work with me, that's the place to get in touch. permissiontokickass.com, all one word.
Well, like I said, Angie, you've been absolutely amazing today. And all the details, you know, to contact Angie on will be in our podcast summary below. Be sure to click on the link and don't forget to subscribe to the Wise Dome podcast. And thank you again, Angie, so much for your time. You've been amazing to chat to.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. At the risk of beating a dead horse, it was so much fun.
Thanks for listening to the Wise Dome podcast. If you enjoyed and have been inspired by this episode and you'd like to support the podcast, do subscribe and please share it with others. Post about us on social media or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, Nikki Kelly, you can follow me on Instagram at Wise Dome Podcast, WISEDOME Podcast. I'm Nikki Kelly. Thanks again, and we'll catch up next time.